The coaches for the Arizona Cardinals are only focused on the Carolina Panthers.
This is a little riff I laid down in the garage on Sunday, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it's not. And it's Doug and Wolf here live in the Action Community Studios with Max Starks here for Maximum Football, where the Super Bowl winning offensive lineman just sits and talks ball with us. But in the last 48 hours, everything has changed from Cardinals opponents' perspective. Probably a 1% chance they see Ben Roethlisberger this year. He is eligible to come off of IR, but Max's friend scheduled for surgery on the elbow, and it's listed that he'll be out for the year. You don't assume they'll play Drew Brees this year, as Drew Brees is scheduled to be out for 6 weeks, and game six of 6 weeks is against the Cardinals. And I double down and say the Saints' bye weekend is right after the Cardinals. So it just would seem to make sense, even if Drew Brees is close, go ahead and sit him, get through the bye week, and he comes back after the bye. Then we find out Eli Manning probably won't be a quarterback against the Cardinals when they play the Giants. Daniel Jones named the starter today.
1 versus 6.
Now, that's true. Very good point. Now we've got new news that actually affects this week. For now, we'll see what it says at the end of the week, and that is, according to Carolina media, Cam Newton is not practicing with the team, dealing with a foot injury, and it's a re-injury of a sprained foot. We will get more news coming up in a little while when Ron Rivera addresses the media. Within a Tuesday context, I realize it's not huge, but when you combine it with the way Cam Newton has looked this year, I do think it's a big story. If it was just one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL has hurt his foot, he's missing practice, and we'll talk on Thursday. Okay, all right, big deal. But when you're struggling like crazy anyway, and you've got an injured foot, and mobility used to be part of your game, I don't think he's playing against the Cardinals.
So you're saying there's four more winnable games on the schedule is what you're saying.
Because of the quarterback situation.
Because of QB situation. That's what I felt like I got out of that.
I didn't mean that, but yes, I am saying it once you say that. But I like Daniel Jones. I just didn't like him at number six. But I love anybody that's from the David Cutcliffe tree. I think David Cutcliffe does a fantastic job of preparing quarterbacks. So I'm not willing to say they're going to win in New York, but you know, if I'm in Vegas, I'm putting money down on the Cardinals this weekend.
I think the best evidence, basically, that you can look at in regard to why Cam Newton will not play against the Arizona Cardinals would be week number two, watching him play in week number two. He looked absolutely like I have never seen Cam Newton look, quite frankly. Lost, ineffective, inaccurate, looked like a guy that didn't want to tuck the ball and run for obvious reasons, right? I mean, his foot is bothering him. I understand that. His shoulder as well. I think at some point in time, if you're Ron Rivera and the Carolina Panthers, don't you have to say, okay, wait, whoa. Yes, we're 0-2 right now, but we got to get this guy right or it's going to be a miserable, long season. We have to get him right. Now, listen, that's all predicated on the fact that there's something really wrong with Cam Newton in his foot. That it's not just this little tweak that he's got to get through somehow, some way. Now, if it's just that, I understand why you're going to play him. But if it's something that this could linger for weeks, and that's what you're going to see out of Cam Newton, that kind of play, man, you've got to draw the line in the metaphorical sand and say, we got to get this guy right.
Yeah, I think, yeah, like you said, for the long term health and competitiveness in the NFC South, which looks wide open, yeah, you want him as healthy as possible. So when you get to division time play, it will be a game that you guys want to be in charge of, especially with the flotilla of different options at quarterbacks that seem to be scouring the NFL. But I think more so if he is kind of on that cusp, then you got to play him because – I go back to my earlier point, it's NFC games, and NFC games count when it comes to the playoff time in December, so you don't want to be iffy going into
but
December.
But the whole thing is, look at their division right now. Look at the division of the
NFC. It's almost like if you believe
it's wide open.
It's a mess.
If you believed in Cam Newton's health, even remotely, or if he was playing well and the foot hurts, I think to Wolf's point, you have to play him. And whenever I say have to play about an injury, we all know. I mean, if he's hurt, like really right. injured, no. But when this is now a race in every team in this division to take advantage of the other three teams' misfortunes. You know, Atlanta not playing well, Breeze, Newton, and Tampa just being Tampa. So with every team being in a race for wins, whenever you play Arizona, you need to have your number one. I'm kind of with Wolf. I think if he played well in the first two games, I think you're saying we're playing him as long as he can go, despite the foot injury. Since he's playing so poorly, I do think you take a step back and you say, you know what? Let's let you get healthy because it's affecting your performance. Because something's affecting his performance.
Yeah, I mean, but I would be in the completely different school of thought. If you had played well the first 2 weeks, I'd be more apt to sit you if this was an issue. Because I'm like, okay, let's not ride this horse too hard because we got another 14 weeks to go or 13 weeks to go.
After this, yeah.
But since he has not been playing well, you do have an opportunity to take a leg up in your division because Atlanta already laid an egg in Minnesota, NFC opponent.
Mm-hmm.
So that already puts them down a rung. And right now, if you look at the if we're looking at this landscape of what the NFC playoff picture, even though it's way too early to do that, if you did look at it, you'd have to say a second's coming out of the North and a second's coming out of the West. Well, we're going out West. We got to make sure that we're at least keeping ourselves in contention because there's still an opportunity, and we do need to take advantage of the fact. So if I trust Kyle Allen enough to go win me this game based off what I've seen against the Cardinals, okay, I get that. But if there's any chance that Cam will feel better, I'm putting Cam in because I need to win this game. I need to keep the foothold that we have on what is now looking like a topsy-turvy NFC South.
Even quarterbacks thought it was a terrible decision in Denver, and that has nothing to do with what happened in L.A. against the Saints. We'll get into that in just a second. Get lower-level tickets for only $9.87. Think about this. Paul Goldschmidt returns to Phoenix, and you only have to spend $9.87 to go watch him play. It's the Arizona Sports Half Day Club. We'll be broadcasting live from the Four Peaks Draft Room at Chase Field. Text HALF to 620-620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's HALF to 620-620. Coming up next, the best sound from week two of the NFL. Sean Payton, how you feeling? Soundgarden is next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. So it seems like every time there's a good song on and I talk, Wolf can't take it and just railroads the show.
Yeah, that's okay.
And now I was quiet for like 4 seconds waiting for you to do something and nothing happened.
Really? That's all right. I'm busy right now, Douglas.
Oh.
Oh, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. We call that the kick, of course, in the Wu-Fang Clan. Good morning, Basinonians. Ron Wolfley, Doug Franz. The Doug and Wolf Show. Savages in the morning.
And even more savage now because Max Starks is here for Maximum Football.
No doubt about
it. And this is the beautiful part of the program where we set up Max and Wolf to go through the collection of crazy sound, as we call it in the business, comments from players as they went through week two of the NFL season, back it up with some good music, and since it's sound, we call it Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Soundgarden. Soundgarden with Doug and Wolf.
Roby Coleman Super Bowl. Not allowing the proper running of the clock against Houston week one. And now week two. Rams beat the Saints 27-9 and one of the more controversial calls of the year. Every referee is told if there's any doubt in your mind, don't blow the whistle. We can go back and rule an incomplete pass later. Let the play play out. Cam Jordan did not get that benefit and had a potential touchdown taken away by a referee who's employed where, Cam Jordan?
You say a touchdown got taken away. I mean, I didn't even hear the whistle. I grabbed the ball 15, 20 yards down, and allegedly a whistle was blown. Clearly, I mean, a whistle was blown. Where normally you let the play happen, any footlocker, I mean, referee, usually tells you you let the play happen, and then you go back and review the play.
The footlocker.
I need 4 for 20 on those long white tees. Right now. Take the whistle out your mouth. I need a 4-foot-20.
I think the New Orleans Saints ought to worry about the fact that they're number 27 in rushing yards per game and number 28 in rushing yards per play. That's what they ought to worry about right now. Giving up 5.57 yards per carry in two games.
I've always argued referees determine plays. They do not determine who actually wins and loses the game. There's plenty of opportunities for you to have done something. I'm starting to lose that argument when it comes to the Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, when it comes to the Saints, it is getting to the point where, you guys have a right to be upset.
It's a lucky horseshoe and rabbit's foot. What's the unlucky thing? What is that like? Like a goat foot or something? They must be breaking mirrors in the locker room.
Friday
the 13th.
Throw some salt over your shoulder. Something.
They've got issues. And it's so bad in New Orleans that it actually goes all the way up. Speaking of voodoo in New Orleans, it actually goes up to Baton Rouge, where college coaches talk about it.
I felt bad. I felt bad for him, his family, and the Saints in the state of Louisiana, because I know how much he means to all of us.
I love Ed Orgeron.
Why do we play Ed Orgeron here on the Doug and Wolf Show? Because we can. That's why.
I would say, why don't we play him more?
He just sounds like a missing Muppet character.
Unbelievable.
Does anybody else want to have, once in their life, sit in on a conversation between Ed Orgeron and Pat Mahomes? I mean, that's what I
want. That would be... It would literally be a unifying of Jim Henson's like alter ego characters.
I would love to see it.
I love Coach O, though. Coach O recruited me in USC.
Reasonably impressive weekend in the SEC. Speaking of which, number 8 Auburn at number 17 Texas A&M. Number 7 Notre Dame at Georgia. Hello. But back to non
I felt bad.
Ed Orgeron stuff. Sean Payton, the other coach in Louisiana. Ref? Coach?
When we get poor officiating or we get an awful call like that, we can't control that. So our focus this week is going to be on cleaning up the penalties and making sure we got the right guys on the field, too.
Did it look like a fumble to you? Bob?
Listen, I just finished telling you.
Sean Payton getting a little jacked up.
What
right
I love
there.
About it is how do you handle it? We've got to worry about ourselves, but make sure you say what you think about the call.
When we get poor officiating or we get an awful call like that.
That's brilliant. Well done. Well done.
And that's now all, we move on.
That's all Drew Brees related, of course.
We move on to the continuing embarrassment of the Miami Dolphins and Bill Belichick. Why were you throwing deep in the fourth quarter when you're up by 100?
Oh, we're playing 60 minutes.
Did you want to send your players out for having their last year?
No. Try to play 60 minutes.
I have no problem whatsoever. I ask no quarter, and I will give you no quarter if we're playing in the National Football League. I'm sorry.
However, though, and I listen, whenever you disagree with Bill Belichick, who's the idiot in the room? So that's me. I have never liked how he leaves Tom Brady in so long against opponents that are that you've got a commanding lead. He did it against Pittsburgh, too. I mean, you had that game won so much earlier, and yet Brady's still out there. And I'm thinking, why risk it? Are you really making Brady a better quarterback now?
Brady wants to be.
I was about to say, it's not necessarily about the coaches' want and desire. It's about the players' want and desire.
Are you
going to go tell Tom Brady to go sit down?
Yes.
He doesn't want to sit up.
I'm sorry. Have you seen what Josh McDaniels goes through if he tries to tell Brady something?
I see.
So who's the one that's going to tell him? Belichick sure isn't going to do it because Belichick wants to win. And so Josh McDaniels, you going to sit him down? I don't think so.
Yes.
I don't think so. No, he's not.
Because he didn't. If you didn't see the bad officiating in Denver, oh my goodness. I understand the famous Tony Siragusa play. You cannot put your weight on the quarterback. Yet it was awful in Denver, and it took a drive that was going nowhere for the Bears and moved it up 15 yards.
We were toe-to-toe in the whole game and had our chances to win there. You know, obviously the critical penalty at the end of the game there on the roughing call was huge because it stops the clock, saves their timeout, and gives them 15 yards. So I haven't seen the play yet, but you know, that was critical.
Now, to be fair, they were consistent. Goodness. They called one on Bradley Chubb earlier in that game, which was just as bad, just as terrible.
Horrific.
Both teams got one, but it is, you cannot justify that call and say you're playing football.
The NFL has got a problem. They have to fix that. They have to fix it and get it right. because you can't play football. You might as well literally put a flag on the guy and pull the flag if you can't do that.
On a side note, if you didn't know about the Bears, last year, zero 50-yard field goals. In that game, two. Maybe they've got right, it so. Fixed. Doug Marrone, sideline altercation, Jalen Ramsey.
Doug, can you explain what led to the disagreement between you and Jalen Ramsey and several of the players in the first half?
I had a lot of motion in the game, I'm sure. I don't know. I can't recall.
What do you mean? Wait. What do you mean you can't recall? You're not on Capitol Hill, Doug Marrone.
The one thing I do understand is that when you're on that field, it's a high-ass level. And I don't know if you haven't, and again, I don't mean to put anyone down. I'm just trying to paint this picture for everybody.
Hmm.
I would just like to add this. The whole city trash. Coaches trash, fans trash too. They only care about crab trays and hard drugs. I'm out. Jalen Ramsey on trade request.
Ball,
hard drugs.
So, what, Doug Marrone?
The question is, what, Steve Keim? Do you really want that in Phoenix when you've got a cornerback need? And that's what he says on the way out the door? Yeesh. Derek Carr, you threw another pick.
That's Book of Antonio, chapter 1.
Yes, it is. Good
page
point.
5.
Whose fault?
The second interception will blow my mind forever. It was offensive pass interference. They said he was blocking. So I asked the man, and I said, sir, why would I throw him the ball if he was blocking? And he didn't have an answer for me, and he walked away. So I don't know what to do in that instance. We got the coverage we want. We got the exact look we want. I'm throwing it to where I'm supposed to throw it. And they tackle our receiver, yet it's a penalty on us. Like that, this is changing the outcomes of a football game.
Hey, Derek, you haven't seen anything. You have not seen anything, all right? Because the DPI call against ASU, against Michigan State, that should get you fired up.
That was...
Not what you saw, but what Herm saw.
And again, Michigan State fans, quit whining. Your old athletic director signed a contract that invited Pac-12 refs into your building. That's on you. We already see it every week. We know you actually signed something like that. It's just like Jennifer's sisters say, don't blame us for their mother. We got stuck. You married into the family. And, you know, they're right. By the way, when Big Ben got hurt, did anybody pay attention to how good Mason looked?
He's a legend. He's a future Hall of Famer and unbelievable player. And I truly do learn something every week from him, whether that be communication-wise or just his creativity and no huddle. You know, try to meet with him as much as I can during the week, you know, however available he is.
Are you buying, former Steeler, what everyone else is selling on Mason Rudolph?
I mean, he's okay. I mean, I'm not gonna go and, you know, shout from the mountaintops, we've found the second Messiah. But, I mean, I think he's serviceable. I think he can do well. I think he has the capability. He has the resume from college. He knows how to throw the ball around. I just think he needs the proper weapons.
Gotta
healthy James
him.
Conner. And you, well, he will get protection. That's the one thing I will guarantee. That offensive line will protect him. Because Ben, when he had his injury, was all non-contact.
But as you know, it's not just an offensive line. It's everything.
Well, Roosevelt next, I trust him too.
It takes the call, right, coming in from the sideline, of course. It takes the backs executing, the wide receivers as well, running their hots and their sight adjust. It takes a team to protect a quarterback.
Well, it does take a team, but I also remember, for a majority of my career, a quarterback who also got 6 to 7 seconds to throw the football every time. So I'm like, there's no way he's going to be that long in the pocket. So it should be cake.
Cardinals fans, you need to be rooting for Mason Rudolph. They're on the road this week at San Francisco.
Oh, there you
so
go.
You need Mason to do well.
There are a little black and gold in your life.
And finally, did you see that one-handed catch along the sideline last night? Greg Williams.
This week, New York's defensive coordinator suggested that Odell is not a dynamic playmaker. Do you feel like he showed otherwise tonight?
He said that? Oh, jeez. That's next question. Not a dynamic football player.
The okay. Throw down the sideline on the one-handed catch.
Mm-hmm.
How's it?
Pretty dynamic.
That was really good by Baker.
That was really well played.
It was almost like Sal Palantonio had the routine down. Okay, you say this, I'll ask this question, you follow up with
right.
this. Baker was that good on his
timing. Choreographed to perfection.
That is your Doug and Wolf Soundgarden with Super Bowl winning offensive lineman Max Starks.
We call that an audiograph.
Up next. The Cardinals game Sunday was already in the winnable category. Did it get better? It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's poll question, does anybody understand that we are never on Pacific time? Ever, ever, ever. We are always on Mountain Standard Time. We never change to Pacific time. Thank you. Okay, well, Melanie, what's the other question for today?
When will the Cardinals get their first
win? Wait. Pot up your mic for us because we can barely hear you. Okay.
When will the Cardinals get their
We can still barely hear you.
Man, that hasn't happened in so long. I know. When will the Cardinals get their first win?
Tomorrow or Sunday. There you go.
Wolf, do you want to predict?
It's
your options are
week
three.
Okay, week three.
79% say week three against the Panthers. 11% say week five at the Bengals. 9% say none of those games. 1% says week four, home versus Seattle. And then 1% week six, home against the Falcons.
I love this. I love the fact that you gave me multiple choice. In other words, it's not a prediction. It's multiple choice. That's what it is. So you know what? I'm going to go with Carolina Panthers.
You're actually joining us.
Multiple choice. I'm going to go A.
I was afraid somebody was going to be a jerk and say week 12. I don't know why. I just felt like somebody was going to go there. I totally believe in this team winning at Carolina. And actually, at the beginning of the season, I said they'd start the year 1-3. And then I felt like they'd start, I wouldn't say rolling, but they'd start to figure things out and they'd become a better team. And it still plays out that way. I think they beat Carolina. I think they lose to Seattle. And then I think they're better than Cincinnati. I think Atlanta might fall on their face. I think they're better than the New York Giants. And I don't have any idea who the Saints are right now.
Yo.
You know, so you look in the next group of four after my opinionated statement that they go 1-3 of Cincinnati, Atlanta, Giants, and Saints. You know, that's pretty good right there.
I'm really encouraged based on what I'm seeing right now, right? I mean, think we all are for the most part, but just watching Kyler Murray go about his business, I am totally encouraged right now. And it's because of the set of circumstances swirling around Kyler Murray. Just the fact that he's been able to go out there and right the ship in the middle of playing as poorly as I think you probably could play. Here's a situation where you saw him in that fourth quarter against the Lions just suddenly get a grip and go out there and start bringing his team back. There were grizzled veterans that walked out of that locker room after the Lions game. And when I talked to them, they said, hey, listen, you know what? We're glad that kid showed us that. That was really, really important because that's special. They understand how unique that is, especially when you're talking about a rookie quarterback to be able to turn it around the way that he did and bring his team back, lead his team from behind is huge. And then you go on the road against the Baltimore Ravens, one of the more physical teams in the National Football League, in a hostile environment, a blitz-happy, pressure-happy Baltimore Ravens team, and you go out there and you're not the reason why they lost that game. As a matter of fact, Kurt Warner, he's the reason why they were in that game.
The reason that they are having success on offense is because of that young man.
That's what Kurt Warner said, and it makes you think, right? Number one, was he talking into a megaphone? What was it that he was talking into, number one? And number two, is Kurt right about that? Yes, he is. It was so funny because I was thinking of all these variables, all the things that he was dealing with. Kyler Murray was dealing with pressure that is unthinkable when you consider the football universe. Everybody looking at Kyler Murray. I had all these reasons as to why it was so impressive what we've seen from Kyler Murray in two games, and Kurt just summed it up.
There are two huge takeaways. When a Hall of Fame quarterback says that guy is the reason, and you want to talk optimism, and the head coach, when asked about why is the offense starting slow?
We just need to eliminate that feel-out period, just cut it loose and play, and offensively I can do a better job.
Every time, every question. to Cliff Kingsbury is, here's what I'm going to do better. Here's what I've got to do. Get lower-level tickets for just $19.87 to see 24th-ranked ASU football host Colorado this Saturday. Text DEVILS to 62620, and we'll send you a link to purchase tickets. That's text DEVILS to 620620 for the Arizona Sports Sun Devil Special. All through the work of Erin Maloney today, she has discovered something which brings another question to you. 36 years ago today.
Wow, why do you guys continue to do this today?
Because you're old. 36 years ago today, what were you doing?
36, Douglas, it's ridiculous. I have no idea what I was doing.
36 years ago today, Jeff Hostetler, bad. Bad.
Hoss.
Three interceptions in the first half. Maryland has a 10-0 lead. And they're ranked. And for the first time in years, West Virginia was ranked. And Maryland's about ready to whoop you.
This is Boomer Esiason.
This is about ready to whoop you. And then,
after falling behind 10-3 in the first half, the Mountaineers' defense came up with one of its patented big plays when the hardest little hitter in football, Tim Agee, picked off a Boomer Esiason pass. That set up a bowling score by fullback Ron Wolfley, which knotted the score at 10 after 30 minutes.
Wolf that scores the game-tying touchdown right before the half, and then you go on in the second half to beat ranked Maryland 31-21 and jump all the way up to number 12 in the polls.
That's right. We were really, really good the year that Jeff Hostetler played for us and was the starter right there. And that touchdown, by the way, against the Maryland Terrapins, right? That touchdown, Basinonians, it was a belly play. Lined up in the I formation, opened up with the right leg, opened, crossover, square up. It was the belly play. Cut it back, touchdown.
You didn't cut anything.
That's
back. What?
One. I cut it back.
I don't want to hear stories about you cutting
it basically
back.
Was
run
the
somebody
inside
over.
Zone. Actually, cut it back, touchdown, and I grabbed the ball. This is where I grabbed the ball, and I went to spike it, and it came right out of my hands. True story. And it's the reason why I never tried to spike a football after that.
Wait, you scored more touchdowns?
Oh, yeah, I scored more touchdowns, especially at the college level. That was the one where right out of my hand. All right, that's enough. That's enough right there. Okay, there it is. Oh, look at the ISO. Did you see it? Did you see me blow up 55? You're going to stick your face in there, dude? You better. Oh, my goodness. Get out. Stick your face in there bringing that weak sauce.
If you want to talk scouting, Wolf, the new scouting term is you threw him out of the club.
Bury, baby. The cage into somebody's sternum.
What's even better about this is for those of you that don't remember the time in life when I was about 10, 12 years old, you didn't have normal plays. You didn't have normal highlight shows. You couldn't hear anything without the cheesy music.
After falling behind 10-3 in the
every time. Oh my gosh, it was so annoying. Even then I knew something's weird about this. I didn't know how to fix it.
After falling behind 10-3 in the first half.
Just get to it. Paul's call's coming up next, and we'll see if he throws anybody out of the club on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.
Paul's Call is brought to you by Brooklyn Betting. Stop into one of their 20 Valley locations or online at brooklynbetting.com. Brooklyn Betting, helping you sleep better.
Hey, it's your call, man.
Oh, no. It's your call.
Hey, nitwits. It's Paul's Call.
I mean, it wasn't like, Eli yesterday. Like he didn't see this dorsal fin coming. Right, Pat Shurmur?
Eli's been our starter to this point, and you know, I'm not really ready to get into any of those conversations about any position.
To this point, he said.
Fishy, fishy.
Not talking depth chart, especially starting quarterbacks.
We're going to talk about everything we're doing moving forward. You know, I think that's fair at this point. You know, we're 0-2. There's areas we got to get better. And so we're going to address all areas and try to find ways to put a winning performance on the field.
No answer was the answer.
Fishy, fishy.
If Eli was listening yesterday.
Eli, your starting quarterback this week?
He's been our starter to this point, and I don't want to talk about anything else moving forward from that standpoint.
Past tense. Been our starter.
It's done.
Yeah, Eli, not available for comment from what we can tell, not yet. And that reminds us of another story yesterday that went viral.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment. Micah, back.
No way.
What?
Wait, no way.
Come on.
Live, local, late breaking in L.A., Doug, with this report.
No way.
Back here live.
Here's the beginning
Kevin
of the report.
Pedersen had 1 year on the job. He was on probation. He fired the majority of the shots, 64 from his pistol during this encounter.
Report about an officer had a shootout with a bad guy. She wraps up her report once again with this comment.
We tried to reach out to the man who died in this pursuit. They were unavailable for comment.
No, that's impossible.
She's not wrong.
Paul, is that the Huntington Market?
She's reporting the facts.
That's the fact.
Yeah. I mean, I realize we all say some dumb things, but nobody goes down the path. Yeah. We tried to reach out to the person that died.
The red light was on. She was scrambling, you know? I mean, her keister's blowing in the wind, you
producer
know?
Producer yelling, just... Phil.
Exactly. I mean, you know, the only thing missing from her report was whether the officer was packing the sawed-off shotgun of sports.
Oh.
Sports takes and sports history, guys, in the president's direction.
After 5 years playing in the minors in 1955, Mariano made it to the big leagues.
Speaking of gas.
Oh, no.
It's okay. He's not the only politician.
Let me ask you about Mr. Palmieri.
To ever butcher baseball.
I want to thank Bud Selig.
You know, Mariano with a big honor.
President Trump presenting the Presidential Medal of Freedom, Hall of Famer, and legendary New York Yankees pitcher Mariano Rivera.
No joke.
It's the highest honor given to a civilian.
I mean, it's so high that when Mariano Rivera was introduced at the White House... Metallica at the White House. Can you play Enter Sandman at the White House?
Because
it just happened.
Yes.
Yeah. So there we go.
It's kind of cool, Paul.
Yeah, I thought it was, you know, not bad. I mean, you know. Once again.
After 5 years playing in the minors in 1955, Mariano made it to the big leagues.
Yeah, you know, I mean, he's a longtime All-Star. Really long. Oh, wait, hang on, hit the brakes. We have breaking news from the Twitter account of
Tebow,
Tim Tebow and his fiance.
So we're kind of delirious a little bit right now because we've been trying to come up with our wedding hashtags.
Wedding hashtags. This is an urgent matter.
I mean, stop the presses.
Right.
Stop the presses.
The Tebows need our immediate assistance with their working list of wedding hashtags.
This is the list right now.
This is the list.
Yeah. It's great.
Yes.
It's going very well.
Yeah.
But we need your help.
Those little lovebirds, you know, there they are. And, I mean, don't just sit there. We need wedding hashtags. Well, if you've already checked out and we need hashtags.
Because...
Please, guys, don't you have some... Please, do you have any ideas?
Yes, give us some ideas. Wedding hashtags. We need your help.
Just a lovely couple. By the way,
you should have seen the ice out they were playing just moments ago.
No, I'd much rather watch that video because let's just say Tebow scored one more touchdown.
Hey now!
If you remember the entertainment report from January.
He is now engaged. Tebow popped the question to his longtime girlfriend, former Miss Universe, Demi Lee Nell Peters.
Hello, former Miss Universe.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, so, I mean, Tebow, you better deliver with a big ring over there. Big, big diamond.
We know you want to see that ring.
Oh,
bling, bling. People magazine says it's a 7.5-carat ring.
Wow, 7.5.
People
and a half
really exist like
carat.
That.
You know, I mean, it's, you know. I mean, wait a minute. You know what we need right now?
You know, some of these people act like these offenses are religions.
How about a Mike Leach rant?
If you create a recruiting advantage beyond what already exists, I think it's going to be very difficult. I think there will be a huge imbalance and you'll destroy college football, and I think they ought to be very careful of that.
California's Fair Pay to Play Act would allow NCAA student athletes to accept compensation for the use of their image, their likeness.
Yeah, and the other thing, if you can do stuff like that, I mean, surely if you don't like the way the guy's portraying something, you should be able to cut him on the spot pretty much, I would think. And then, of course, then are we going to have a draft? Then are we going to have trading? Then are we going to have free agency? I mean, how far does all this stuff go?
Exactly, Coach Leach.
Maybe we ought to just have minor league football and go ahead and have minor league football and then those those guys can do whatever they want, yeah. You know?
And then there's always room for a dig at California.
But the state of California has trouble keeping their streets clean right now, so my thought is that they probably ought to focus on that. At the rate that California is handling their infrastructure and some of their other problems, I think that we'll see how they do with that.
Just because the whole state declared bankruptcy lately, not too long ago.
Big Brothers.
It's time once again for No Comprendo.
Let's talk high school football.
Coach would have put me in fourth quarter.
No, stop.
We'd have been state champions.
Stop
no
calling
doubt.
Me Uncle Rico.
I used to be able to throw a pigskin a quarter mile.
Local high school football, gentlemen, where the question today becomes...
Okay, I'm sorry. Do you want to lose?
And at Mountain Point High School in Tempe, the answer is yes.
A Mountain Point High School coach is accused of sharing information about his teams with opposing coaches and has been doing this for 3 years.
A real story, a real headline this morning, KTAR.
No comprendo.
The Tempe School District has sent out a release saying the assistant coach shared, quote, protected information about the varsity football and basketball teams for the past 3 years.
Unbelievable. This is outrageous.
He shared game information including plays, game plans, signals, defensive schemes to give opponents a competitive edge. State playoff games in both sports, including state championship games, were compromised.
Goodness gracious.
Did it via email. He had a burner account, Walter Payton 12, where he would anonymously email opposing coaches.
Isn't that unbelievable?
The motive is unclear, although speculation is that since he was passed up for a varsity head coaching gig.
Even if you're not happy with the administration, I'm going to stick it to them. You're sticking it to the kids. You are sticking it to the kids.
Once again, the kids lose in multiple ways. And because it can get worse, think about this.
Here's the crazy, really crazy part. The district, Mountain Point High School, didn't find out about this until... they had a game against Faith Lutheran High School.
It took the coach at Faith Lutheran to email back, quote, "We don't believe in cheating." And then he alerted the school administration. It went on for 3 years. None of the opposing coaches or teams let the school know that inside info was being shared around the AIA.
Can we have a list of all the teams they played?
How about how impressive it is, how sad it is and impressive. There was only one guy that looked at the information and said, "This is unfair. I don't want it."
And I'm out of time here.
That's what I mean. Can we get a list of all the guys who didn't say that?
We know it.
Jim Sharp named some names that are in some of these reports, and they're big names at big schools, big head coaches. Just Paul's gone.
Good story,
thank you, Paul.
How did the show make you feel?
Woo!
Doug and Wolf's. Brought to you by Carol Royce with Keller Williams Realty East Valley. Looking to buy a nice home and can't find one? Go to OurNiceHomes.com. That's OurNiceHomes.com.
My big takeaway from today's show, based on Paul Calvisi's beginning to Paul's call, it reminded me of the great American reporter Daniel Sargent, who asked Mike Singletary about a phone call he had with his mentor Bill Walsh. Two problems. One, Bill Walsh was not Mike Singletary's mentor. Two, Bill Walsh was dead.
Maybe that's why we lost to Bellarmine High School my junior year in the playoffs 62-3. They had all our schemes.
All right, my big takeaway's got to be Baker Mayfield. Grow strong, Grasshopper. Peace and strength.
Or we just stunk.